Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit come forward to open our hearts and minds, Father, to be receptive so we can contain this your word, Father, the truth of it, and make it real to each and every one of us, Father, to walk therein, so that we can walk through this life in accordance with your will and your way, always being pleasing unto you, Father, and doing the work you set for us to do. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the third chapter of the book of Romans. Give you just a second to get there. All right, verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? You know, circumcision made Israel a distinctive nation. So Paul has natural superiority and privilege in view. The question is, what benefit is there to being a member of the Jewish race? I earn too much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the articles of God. Those articles of God refers to the words of the Old Testament, which Paul, like other New Testament writers and even Jesus himself, regarded as divinely inspired. And we know that all of the word of Almighty God was divinely inspired. Now, and it's all true. Man has made a lot of it of no use and no value. But it's things we need. And that's usually what they have really taken away from us and the church, is the things we really need. Now, 3. But what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? 4. Forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Now, you know, this, God forbid, may it never be, and perish the thought. Because this direct denial is a formula of negation in which the individual recalls the power at something that is previously suggested. It occurs in Paul's writings more than 60 times. And let God be true refers to God's keeping his promises to Israel. God's faithfulness does not depend upon the faithfulness of man. Now, here, pardon me a minute. But if our righteousness commands the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. Now, 6. The answer's down right here. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? Now, 7. For if the truth of God has more abounded through my life unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Well, we know why today. Because we are under the church age, under this New Testament that is covered by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And unless we have been to him and repented of our sins, you know, we've got to admit the sins, and then we have to repent of them. And then he forgives us. And that puts us on the way of becoming a child of God. We get then into the Word of God. We find a place to where we can associate and have others to help us as we study his word. And when we are in need of prayer and other things, that's why we all need a church. But we need a church that is preaching the truth of God's word and not twisting and turning and making it say what they want it to say instead of what God has used it to say. Now, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and some, and as some, affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Well, we know that don't work. You know, we can't do evil to see good. And doing evil gets us in trouble. and it'll not let us be a child of the living God. We stay away from evil and from the sins of this world. 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Now, here in 9, are we better than they? You know, the sin seems to be, are we any less deserving of God's judgment than the Gentiles? For we Jews have rejected God's revelation and God's mission, God's Messiah. And you see, that is why God turned and had Paul turn from the Jews to the Gentiles. Because they had rejected and denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd not walk with him, nor follow him, nor put their belief in him. Now, and when Paul went to the Gentiles, pardon me, now, when Paul went to the Gentiles, you know, they didn't know anything about the Lord God because they worshipped idols. But they readily accepted his gospel. And they turning from their idols to the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 10 through 18, Paul is going to be quoting scriptures here. Beginning with 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. 13. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips. 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways. 17. And the way of peace have they not known. Now, 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, Paul quotes scripture to prove universal guilt. Scripture, not Paul, is the judge. You see, Paul's not judging, but the scripture is. And that's why he's quoting it here. And that's why you and I study the scripture each and every day. Because it takes the truth of God's word in order for you and I to be able to live as his child. Now, Father, I take this moment to ask of you, Father, to open my throat. Take this mucus away, Father, so that I can speak better, more clear, Father, to where they can understand me. And Father, I'm asking this in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Now, 19, we know what things soever the law said, it saith to them who are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, by the law, the purpose of the law was to bring conviction through guilt, not for justification. The law never justified anyone. Its purpose is to reveal sin. Now, here in 21, but now
Pastor, do you need some help? Do you want some help? I can help teach if you need.
Well, I'll go on.
Okay.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophet. 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, we know that righteousness, and the emphasis here is on the gift of personal relationship to God imparted to those to trust Christ. But now Paul's emphasis shifts to the new age, our dispensation. He is not contrasting Jews and Gentiles, but the time when the law held away in the present time, and grace prevailed. No, you see, because I did this, Kenny, publicly, Satan would like to keep it this way, figuring that I would stop. But no, he's not going to win. We have to stand against him. Now, 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So there is no difference. Faith of or in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only valid object in which man this please his faith. Now 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've heard that so much in our lifetime. And you know it's true. Because we are born under the curse of sin. And we walk in sin until we go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we may not do a lot of real bad stuff. We may be what mankind considers good people. But yet they are still that sin nature there. It will cause us to do things that are not pleasing to God. Maybe all right in man's eyes, but not all right in the eyes of God. Now, 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. We spoke talking there in 25 about through faith. Christ's death satisfies the Father's righteous demands. It benefits are appropriated only through faith in his finished work, in his blood. The emphasis is not on the blood as it grew through Christ's veins, but as it was shed for our sins. This is how the propitiation was accomplished. Just and the justifier. God can remain just, true to his nature, and still declare sinners to be righteous only because Christ has paid for sin and satisfied and propitiated his holy law. The sinner is not rendered guiltless, but pardoned. Christ has taken the sin on himself and has imputed his righteousness to the sinner. Now, here in 26, he says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, the deeds of the law there. And Paul gives three reasons why the principles of justification by faith does not violate the law. One is because it omits any ground of boasting. Two, and because the same God establishes both. And three, because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, he did not destroy it. No, he just fulfilled it. And then we moved on. Mankind then was to move on and under grace and under the church age. And to make our way to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the only way. He is the door. He is the gate. And everything must go through him. 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Thirdly, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. that you see under the New Testament, under grace. Man does not have to be circumcised, not in the flesh. We are to be circumcised in the heart. Understand what I'm saying? That old man's sin must be cut out and done away with. 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. You see, because we follow the word of Almighty God, and we have done away with sin. So you and I, we don't need the law. We are under the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we know that those that were under the law was not keeping the law. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. Was so that we, through him, could have salvation. Because mankind was not keeping the law that God had handed down to Moses. But, you see, up until that time, man didn't know really right from wrong. And he was doing a lot of things that was not pleasing unto God. So God gave Moses the law. And that brought the knowledge of sin. That knowledge of right and wrong to mankind. To the Jewish people at that day and time. And they wasn't keeping it. And they was adding things to it. Things of their tradition that they wanted to put in with it. That actually was not even part of the law. All right. We have now come to the end of chapter 3. I'm not going into 4 this morning. It's 25 verses long. So I'm not gonna go there. God willing, we'll be there this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And, you know, I pray every day for all that has been a part of this ministry, that wants to be a part of it, and that studies with us. But you know, we're not doing enough. And God has let me know this. We have not, in the last, 6 or 7 months, we have not added not one person to us. Why is that? That's because we are not sharing the word of God that we have even with others. And we're not living the righteousness of the word. We're not living by faith. We're living our own ways. And that will never get things done. I'm asking all, how many have you actually talked to this week about the Lord our God and asked them to join with us in our Bible study? Think about it. You know, you can't just sit back. You sit back and you don't work out here spreading the gospel, sharing it with others. You're not going to make it. You can be as pious as you want to be, but unless you are following the word of God and working, you're not going to make it. His word tells you that. That's not my word. That's His. You can get mad at me if you want to, but it's His word, not mine. In fact, just the last few days, we've read a lot about that. We sit back. We take time to do what we want to do. We don't really put time in His work. And there is no excuse for it. He's not going to accept any excuse of us not giving Him time in prayer and in His word. And we're told that in His word. And He tells you that you must live. And when you sit back and you don't take part, you're not talking to people, you're not spending time with Him, it's not going to work, fellas and ladies. It won't work. I pray that each has got something out of the study this morning, and that you have really learned something new, something useful that you can use. We was reading there, if you remember, those verses from 10 through 18. The things and what mankind was actually born with and really what folks are living by today in their life, because they will not take the time for prayer and the study of God's word. Now, you know, this ministry, we don't have a church building. We have my home. It may not be the best. It may not even be the cleanest. But it is a place to where we could meet. It is a place to where God will be with us. Because, you see, I know He's with me. To Him all day, every day. Off and on, all through the day. And in the beginning of the church age, most of your churches begin in homes. People were true believers. in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his ways, and they were living it. And they would come together, and he was always there in the midst. That's why they had the power in their church they had at that time. We could have it also today. We will not utilize the time for God. We'll use it for everything else, but not for God. All right. Let us go to Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for these times that we can come together, Father, to share in your gospel with each other and with each other and you. To make our days, Father, into being your days, your time, where we can walk in love with you and that we can be of use in doing the work that you want of us to do. And Father, I pray this morning for Israel. I pray that they'll have peace, Father. But more than that, I pray that they'll all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And this land in which we live, Father, such evil has come upon us. And Father, I pray that those that are in office in our high places be removed from office and replaced with those, Father, that are walking in righteousness and love you and love the Lord Jesus Christ, bless the church and your people in this country, and will work with us to bring this nation to repentance and to put our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray now for those that's in my heart. I pray for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Amy and Tom and Jacob, for Bobby and Millie, for Courtney and Shane, for Cher, for Susan, for Debbie, for Daryl, for my wife, myself, Father, and for all of our families, our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, Father. That we will all grow stronger day by day and spend more time with you, Father, in prayer and in study, and in doing the things you will ask of us to do as we reach out to share the gospel with others, Father, and try to get them in. Now, Father, I pray that you keep all of us through this day in health and in safety. Some of us, Father, will have to work this day. And I pray that you will keep them safe, Father, going and coming and while they are at work. Now, Father, know that I love you. I love the Lord Jesus. I love the Holy Spirit. Father, I love your word, and I love teaching it. Father, Have your way with all of us. Keep us all in health and safety. This, Father, is my prayer this morning. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I pray that you all will have a good day and that you'll be back with us this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, have a great, great day.